found breakthroughs. They left their gods there in verse 12. David burned them with fire. That made them mad. The Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of the Lord and said, God, inquired again of God, and God said, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt hear the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt go to battle. God has gone forth before thee and to smite the host of the Philistines. And David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon, even into Gazar, which was about 7.5 miles. That's a whooping. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Make it alive in our hearts tonight, and touch your people by your spirit. Lord, we know that in ourselves we can do nothing. But Lord, we humble ourselves that you might be able to do everything. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I understand, folks, this is a military battle we've read about. But I understand we have a spiritual battle that we're in the middle of. And we can't afford to go lightly at it. We have to go at it as best we can. Years ago, we used to sing a song, Move On, Brothers, Move On, Sisters. Help me remember that. This is the moving day. Move a little closer. Take your stand with Jesus. I think we sing that a bit different. Move on, brothers, move on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I hear the rustle of the mulberry tree. I know, I know, I know. The move is on, the move is on. And I just want to, along with what God is speaking in these songs, we sang the song, I Feel Jesus. Feel Jesus. Feel Jesus. You know, the people that don't feel Jesus, I'm sorry for them. I'm sorry for them. They need to get their feelers healed and feel Jesus. Here I am is an excellent way to feel Jesus. Here I am, Lord. Take everything that I am, surrender. I want us to understand that God moves in different ways, not always the same. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, go fight the Philistines and meet them in battle head on. He did. He won. And then he come back and he said, Lord, should we do it again? He said, yep, but not the same way. I want you to go around by the mulberry trees, and I want you to surprise them. And he won again, because God is moving through the rustling of that tree, giving him a sign of when to go. And the Lord will not fail you and I. When man gets involved in trying to control the spirit, we've had pastors in this church, and not Brother Connor, but maybe one, maybe another or two, that said, okay, you can use your holy language now. I really wanted to get up there and slap them on both sides of their face, and according to the word, they'd have to turn their other cheek, and I guess I just keep slapping. You don't have to tell God's people when to speak in tongues. But what I heard Brother Connor tell Sister Frieda today is that you can speak in tongues whenever you want to in this house of God. And I thought, wow, that's what we want to both hear and what we want to feel and what we want to do. The Holy Spirit has suffered at the hand of the church. The church has pushed the Holy Spirit out, put beautiful programs in. And I know people say, oh, but a small church don't offer much. This small church offers much because we offer the freedom of worshiping God in the Holy Spirit. And when God moves, folks, he's created everything by the moving of his Spirit. He can do anything right now. Amen. We may not have the ability, but God does. And all that's been done many times will block the flow of the Spirit. All that's been said about the Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and all speaking in tongues. I'm tired of all of that. I want to see God move. I watched Jimmy Swaggart, and there's a guy that always spins. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's his thing. Let him spin. But God moves in different ways. It's not always spinning. It's not always anything. God is able to move in a quiet place, and God is able to move in a loud place, and God is able to move in kind of in the middle place. God's able to move by dancing. It's been a while since any of us danced. Shouting. Okay, this is out there. This is way out there, but even rolling. It's been a while. When I heard a lady say that we weren't needing to roll anymore, it kind of offended me when I was a teenager. I don't know. That's in God's hands. Let God do whatever He wants. But I do know that God, because when I was younger, I didn't believe God was moving much if it was too quiet. I believe now that God can move in total silence. But it's all God, and the church believed the lies of the devil. How stupid is that? I hate to use the word stupid too many times, but that's stupid to listen to the devil about the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is our best feature, our best part. And Jesus said you got to be filled with the Spirit before you do anything. And I believe that we need to recognize, and I thank God we do. I thank God we do. That we recognize the Spirit and let Him go. Sister Kincaid's lesson on submitting or denying self and submitting to the Spirit's right on. That's a great start. Like the songs that Audrey led. I got real excited when she led the moving on. That wasn't on the card, I don't think. I didn't see it. And I thought, oh man, that's good, Lord. You know how to touch and bless our hearts. Praise God. God is moving by His Spirit. Moving over all the earth because it's all His. And signs and wonders. When something different happens in the church service, like this morning, that's good. When we do something a little different, it's okay. And when the Spirit of God is leading us, it may, you know, I've seen a lot of different things happen when we just listen and follow after the Spirit. Waiting upon the Lord is not a new idea, but it is absolutely necessary. You say, well, what do we have to wait on God for? Isn't He ready? Oh, yeah, He's ready. Waiting on the Lord is for us. The Lord's going. He's moving. And it's for us to wait on Him and kind of get in the right step. That's number six, I guess. Well, no, wait a minute. That's number five. Number six is if you don't make time or room for the moving of God, it's no problem. He won't impose Himself on you. In other words, churches can get along forever without the moving of the Spirit because He's not going to push them. Number seven, in my life, I've seen God move in so many ways. But every time, those in attendance were blessed. I'll give you an example of what happened here. When we came back from Texas, we were in a church, and I think it was David Cash. I'm not sure. Was he the preacher, the young guy that was preaching, David Cash, or one of the Cash boys, or Rusty, one of the two? They were going to preach. You know, young people like to preach and get experience and all that, and He was starting out. And I was in charge of the service for some reason or other. And the Lord moved. And silence fell upon the church. And I have to give Him credit. Because He was able to stay with that silence. Not many times young people can do that. They, they want to go ahead. At the end of that silence was many people sharing revelations. Now, you know a Pentecostal church to be quiet, that's not easy for anybody. Have you ever heard them do a moment of silence for some great person that's died? 2 seconds is a moment. We'll have a moment of silence. Thank you for that moment of silence. That wasn't a moment. That wasn't anything. But when the Lord, I don't remember if it was 15 minutes or 30 minutes, this church was totally quiet. But the presence of God was totally saturating each and every person. And we had a good crowd. Thank God for everyone. You know, it's the Spirit of God when everyone's doing the same thing, right? I have another experience we had in Texas. When the Lord moved in several services. I think it was 6 or 7 services. I was supposed to be filling in for the pastor and preaching, and I preached 1 out of however many that was. But the Lord moved. You know what? We had the same people leading worship. We had the same people doing everything. But God spoke through so many different ones. On Sunday morning, we had a sister stand and sing a message in tongues. You know, I'm good with all that. That's cool. That's fine. And then her daughter-in-law stood and sang the interpretation. And I thought, wow, Lord, I've never seen that so beautifully done. And in all that God was speaking, He was speaking blessing and strength and power. And I remember what really stands out to my mind. We had some kids that were probably 8 or 9 years old, and they were coming to the front of the church to see what God was going to do next. And I don't blame them. I was kind of anxious too. I had a sermon every time, but I didn't get to preach but one. And I'm thankful for that experience. And then I remember the service, I've told it many times, where Jan Lake was preaching in Mountain View. We had already left the section here and gone to Tulare. And I went to the service with him because his wife was tired and the kids, they just want, stay home. And so I went with him to have someone in the late drive. And the Lord moved so wonderfully. I stood in the back of the church, and it almost appeared to me like there was a cloud that was hovering over the people. And there was a lot of people. That church was filled with people. And I'd say 99% were just in the Spirit and worshiping the Lord. To me, that was an amazing thing. So thank God for those experiences, and there have been many, many more. You could tell about times where the Lord just, His presence just set upon the church, and absolutely wonderful. Number 8 is, Lord, I'm hungry for Your presence. Lord, I'm thirsty for You alone. When we get hungry, and we're, how many's hungry now? I'm just talking hungry. If your stomach is growling, we'll hurry. But when we get hungry for the Spirit, when we get hungry for the presence of God, He will meet us. And I want to see, what can a handful of people do for the Lord? Probably not that much. What can the Holy Spirit do in a handful of people? Anything He wants. I'm hungry, Lord. Speak in tongues, it's okay. It's ordained by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I did a wedding yesterday, and a lot of the Holy Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in weddings and baptisms. But God's for that. The only person that is against it, the only one, I guess he's not a person, the devil, he's against it. All of his imps are against it. And anybody else that's against it, guess whose side they're on? You say, that's harsh. Oh yeah. But wait till people get to heaven. I think God's going to have some harsh words. Jesus ordained that. And speaking in tongues is okay. And I say that because I think there's great power. Sister Kincaid spoke in tongues. Matter of fact, Brother Kincaid went around the house speaking in tongues. He does that all the time. And she does. She said, I pray more in the Spirit than I do out. Why? Because it's something there that's a power that we could say all the words we want to, but the Spirit, according to the Word, knows the will of God, and He prays the will of God in us and through us. It's okay. Is it all about tongues? No. No. People say, oh, you guys get too carried away with tongues. No. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Even when he was telling them to have some order in church, we should have some order in church. But that order isn't eliminating tongues. Paul said to that, God forbid. We need to have that holy prayer language. And that's what we're going to be speaking in heaven. I don't know what dialect of tongues we're going to be speaking. Sure not going to be anything that we know here, I don't believe. The last thing is to seek His anointing. I wrote a song a number of years ago, Oh, the Anointing, breaking the yoke of sin, the bonds of fear, bringing me into the presence of the Lord. When the Holy Spirit fell in the book of Acts 2, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. There were tongues of fire that set upon each of them, and they all spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4, after some of the brethren were released from jail, they were in a prayer meeting, and the place was shaken, physically shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul and Silas were in jail. My greatest, absolute greatest retelling of this story was by, the reason I'm looking at my Bible is because he's in here. Where is he? Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford did a little rendition of that and talking about them praying and worshiping and singing hymns and the Spirit of God coming into the place and just shaking it to where everybody was free. And the jailers come in ready to kill themselves, and Paul said, see that you do it not, because we're here. We're still here. We've been shaken, but we're still here. Whole lot of shaking went on then. And going back to Acts 4 and verse 33, and it says, with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. And the word power comes from the word dunamis, means energy, power, great force, great ability, and strength. We may not be able to do much as a small crowd, but the Lord can do much with the great power that He's put within our lives and our hearts. And as we seek the anointing of the Lord, Jesus was in Nazareth, as was His custom, went to church, went to the synagogue. They gave Him a book and He began to read out of Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. They were all looking at Him, and He said, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they all clamored and said, isn't this Joseph's son? And I want to tell you, he wasn't Joseph's son. Joseph was a caregiver and the one that took care of Jesus as a child, as a baby and a child, and as a young man, but he's God's son. And he was there in that place, and today he's here. He's here. He's still there, and he's everywhere. And he can do all things. He can do mighty works when we come into His presence. There's no book that can teach you how to do the presence of Jesus. There's a lot of them that's tried. There's no formula. Or to bring on the moving of the Spirit. Again, if you do it the way you used to. I remember in Alameda, we had a service that God moved. Debbie and I were just first married, and she was playing, and we were singing Jesus on the main line. Tell Him what you want, right? Boy, that church went big for the Lord. Everybody was into it. It was a move of the Spirit. I thought, man, that's great. That night, I said, Jesus on the main line. Let's do it again. And we sang it, but it wasn't the same. See, that's the thing with the Spirit of God. If man can learn the formula, then it's not working. With the Spirit of God, there's no book. There's no how-to. There's no follow this method. There's just coming before the Lord. So here's the three steps I've come up with. You must make yourself available. Here I am, Lord. I give all myself to You. Here I am. Have Your own way, Lord. Have Your own way. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Number two, this is so important. You must follow the voice or the impression of the Spirit and do what He says or leads you to do. Debbie gave a message in tongues because she felt prompted, and I interpretation because I felt the Lord laid a thought in my mind, and I thought, wow, Lord, it's good that you are so concerned about us. And when you follow that, then the Lord is able to move. When you as an individual just yield and let the Spirit of God move and let God, I'm telling you, we're in for some great things just ahead. I don't know exactly when there's going to be a breakthrough, I believe, in not too far away. And number three is you got to stay long enough in that experience to do you some good. No matter how big our tanks are, how many's got a big spiritual tank? Man, you can hold 100 gallons of the Holy Ghost. I've got an excursion that holds 48 gallons. I can go 900 miles. And we bought that Edge. The tank is smaller, and it goes quicker. And part of the reason for that is because Debbie's normally doesn't have a lead foot, but now she does. Because she likes to see what it'll do, and it'll jam. So we don't drive it economically. But no matter how big your tank is, sometime you're going to need some more. We have to go to the gas station. We have to get diesel. We have to get gas. And we've got to have a refilling. I like the scripture in Ephesians 5 that says, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Or is that Galatians 5? I don't know. Whatever it is, it's there. I know. It's the scripture says we're be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, and we need that always, always full. I want to encourage everyone in this experience, not to criticize or demean anyone. We're all in the same boat. We need the Spirit of God moving in our lives. We're all there. Amen. For myself and for each one of you, when we're in the Holy Presence, we feel we feel something. We feel at home. We feel comfortable. How many's ever been slain in the Spirit? I've never in my life done drugs, so I don't know what it's like to be on a trip. But I've been slain in the Spirit, and I'm going to tell you what, that's pretty fantastic. I mean, it's not something you come and say, hey, I want to be slain in the Spirit. It's something God does. I've been slain in the Spirit at just such a marvelous peace and presence of the Lord. And I thought, wow, this is cool. Why don't we do this all the time? Well, we've got to do other things too. But when we feel His presence, we'll feel at home, restful. Then we'll wonder, why did I wait so long for this experience to happen again? I want to be lost in the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit and all the things that God has. Debbie, will you come back to the piano and Donnie to the guitar? And I do believe we need to pray. I believe we need to pray. And we have needs. Remember Brother Connor. He was very sick this morning. He preached a good message. The Lord blessed us, but he wasn't feeling well at all. Pray that God will give him His healing touch. Amen. And I know there are others that need a touch. Bobby's going to be traveling tomorrow or Tuesday. Tomorrow. Debbie and Jim and Terry and Jan are going to be traveling next Sunday. Pray God's mercy as they travel. Amen. And let's just pray that the Lord will open doors for us. I don't know if I could say I hear the rustling of the mulberry tree. I don't know. But I feel something in the Spirit that God wants to just lay a lot of His power over our church and in our lives. And the healing that God has promised that we'd be a healing place, I feel like that's close. I know there's been people healed here or there, but I'm talking about a healing where people come in and just the Lord heals them. We lay hands on too many. To me, it's time for the Lord just to put His Spirit upon people and do that work. I'm all for laying hands on the sick, but I'm also for the Lord doing the work. Amen. Do you have any requests? Anyone want to share something that's heavy on your heart? Yes, Brother Evan. His knee. He fell the other day. I told him, I said, I didn't see that happen, but I sure feel bad that you got your knee scraped. Any other needs tonight? God cares. Audrey? Absolutely. Brother Joe? Amen. Amen. Any other requests? You know, I said we'll do something different. Thank you. can give it. Bless it, Lord. Bless us, Lord, as we